Happy Lord's Day again. We're very thankful you've tuned in and stayed with us here on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. And we've been trying to consider during my weeks on the radio program the providence of God and all of the dynamic ways in which God sees a need ahead of time and then provides for the needs of His children at the exact right time and in the exact right way. And this morning, we have arrived at God's providence in marriage. And we'd like to consider this morning, we'd like to focus on the story of Boaz and Ruth. And there's such great dynamic lessons here with the story of Boaz and Ruth. And then we'd also like to consider Isaac and Rebecca, but there's also great lessons in that story as well. So I think we'll save that for a message in and of itself. So God's providence in marriage. First of all the way back, in the creation, in the first few chapters of the book of Genesis, God saw everything He created and said it was good. But before the sixth day concluded, He saw something that was not good. He looked at man by himself and said that it was not good for man to be alone, which is so funny because Adam is in this unfallen state. Sin was not in the picture yet. He was not even corrupted by sin. But even in that perfect man, unfallen, unsinful state, God looked out ahead of time and said, man, this guy's going to be a mess if he's by himself. So God put him to sleep and He took one of his ribs and He created a woman, but He specifically created a help meet is the language that's used in the book of Genesis. A helper that is suitable for him. A helper that was correct, not just for man, but Eve was the exact right suitable helper that Adam needed. And that's how God guides in His providence when He's guiding in our marriages, that God provides for the exact needs of the spouse in the other spouse. And this is one more example of many times God knows what we need better than what we know what we need. We may think we need someone that has a certain type of personality to draw something out of us. And when God's guiding, when God is guiding and moving in His providence in guiding the marriages of His people, we will find that God will give us a helper that is suitable, a helper that is perfectly suitable for each individual spouse to be, as we're told in the New Testament, to be heirs together of the grace of life. So we'd like to consider God's providence in marriage and the way in which He guides and directs in ways that we might not expect. And we'd like to turn to the book of Ruth to try to look at the way in which God guided the providential marriage of Boaz and Ruth. So first of all, in the book of Ruth, we find that there's a famine in Bethlehem, Judah, and Elimelech takes his wife and his two sons into Moab. They marry Moabite women. Elimelech and both of his sons end up dying. And then Naomi decides to return back to Bethlehem, Judah. And one of her widowed daughter-in-laws, Ruth, commits to return back with her. And Naomi says, no, I don't want you to have to go through that. You don't have to make that sacrifice. And then Ruth makes this just amazing commitment in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, who tells Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And that language is oftentimes quoted in marriage ceremonies or discussions of marriage, and we just see this amazing commitment that Ruth had. But it is interesting that Ruth didn't make this commitment to her husband. Ruth made this commitment to her mother-in-law, really her former mother-in-law, who she had no legal ties to anymore. Her husband has died, and she doesn't really have any commitment. So it's not the commitment of a husband to a wife. It's the commitment of really just Ruth to Naomi, but also really just Ruth to God and her commitment to the Lord. Now, backing up, and this is just amazing to really meditate, God doesn't peel back the curtain a lot of times in the dynamic ways in which his providence moves. And we're always reminded of the fact that his ways are unsearchable and God's judgments are past finding out. And I think that we've hopefully, Lord willing, seen that in this series on providence. And I think we see that in the story of Boaz and Ruth. I mean, God just moves in ways that we would not expect. And he blesses situations even when people make poor decisions. Okay? And I want to make sure we set the right backdrop of praise God for what God ends up doing when Ruth returns and Naomi returns and she providentially finds the field of Boaz, who is her near kinsman, and he ends up redeeming her and she ends up being in the lineage of King David, and just an amazing, powerful story of God's providence. But let's make sure that we understand how we arrived at where we arrived at when she finally comes back and her hap was to light in the field of Boaz. Number one, the whole reason this is even a situation, the whole reason why this even happened is because Elimelech made a poor decision, possibly a downright sinful decision, to leave Bethlehem, Judah in the time of famine, right? Now, what Elimelech should have done is stuck it out, right? Elimelech should have said, God's going to provide for his people. I know times are hard. We've had famines in the past. God's not going to forsake his people. He's not going to forsake his chosen generation. And what we're going to do is we're going to stick out the famine. Well, what did Elimelech do? He goes to a ungodly pagan land of Moab during a time of famine. Now, what's so amazing and dynamic about the way in which God guides in his providence is that God does not cause his children to make bad decisions, right? God is not the author of sin. God did not cause Elimelech. He did not predetermine. He did not predestinate or cause Elimelech to leave the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And also, he did not predetermine for Elimelech's son to disobey the law of God in marrying a Moabite woman. The only reason that we have arrived at this even being a situation that Ruth even has any connection back to Bethlehem, Judah, the only real reason that we've even arrived at this set of circumstances is because of the sinful decision of Elimelech, and possibly doubling down on the sinful decision of Elimelech, allowing his son to disobey the command of the Lord in marrying somebody from a Moabite land that was directly against the command of God. Now, God was not approving of either one of those decisions, right? God does not predetermine events that happen, and he sure enough doesn't say, don't marry Gentile women, and then decree before the foundation of the world that Ruth's husband is going to marry somebody in contradiction to his commandment. No, absolutely not. God forbid. So what's so amazing about the way in which God overrules the sinful decisions, and that's one of the most important words, one of the most important language in our discussion of providence. Yes, we are thankful for providence. Yes, we are thankful that God moves and guides. But what God typically does is overrules our poor decisions, our poor mistakes, even our sin, and blesses his people in spite of their shortcomings. Of course, that's really about the only option God has anyway, right? Is to bless us in spite of our shortcomings. But listen, the only reason why Ruth is even in the picture is because of the sinful decision of Elimelech to leave the land of God and the sinful decision of Elimelech and his son to marry somebody that is not a Jewish woman in direct contradiction to the word of God. Now, that's where they arrived at. That's where the lot was cast at. That's where we pick up this situation. Now, what does God do with that? Now, it's true that sometimes, many times, we're forced to reap what we have sown in the field that we have sown it, right? And God's right to do that. God's right to make us bear the consequences of our mistakes. God's right to force us to reap what we have sown. But that is the lot that's been cast. That is the seed that has been sown because of the poor, sinful decisions of Elimelech and his son. They're in a pagan land, a Gentile land that does not worship Jehovah God. And now he has two sons that are married to women of the land in direct contradiction to the commandment of the Lord. That's where the decisions of his people have arrived at. Now, what does God do with that situation? What does God do with that situation? He overrules the poor decisions and situations that his people put themselves in. And that's what we see in Ruth. We see that the only reason that Ruth is even in the picture is because of the poor decisions that are in direct contradiction to the commandments and the word of God. The only reason she's in the picture is because of the poor decisions of Elimelech's family. But now, what does God do with that? He takes the ashes of this messy situation, right? And he brings not just beauty, amazing, dynamic beauty out of this mess of ashes that Elimelech and his family have made. So I want to make sure that we highlight that, because many times that's how God overrules in a providential way in our life. We're not always going to be perfectly in tune with the Holy Spirit. We're not always going to make the right decision at the right time. But what does God do? He does not say, two strikes, you're out, three strikes, you're out. He takes our bad decisions and the bad situations that we've put ourselves in, and we still have to reap some consequences of that. But God also overrules that to such a degree and blesses in powerful ways in our life, even when we make poor decisions that put ourselves in bad situations. Okay? So that's the only reason we've arrived where we've arrived at, right? It's because of the poor decisions of Elimelech and his son. And then Ruth makes this amazing commitment to go back with Naomi to the land of Bethlehem, Judah, because they found out that the bread has returned to the house of bread. So now let's look at the decisions of Ruth, right? She arrived at this situation and think, look how the Lord suffered these. He didn't cause Elimelech's son to marry somebody in direct contradiction to the word of God. He didn't cause that, but he suffered it to happen, right? And God in his wisdom suffered something to happen 10, 15 years ahead of time, possibly, to put everyone in the situation where Ruth would be the widow of a Jewish man to where she could even return. So God was allowing and guiding this situation, even through the poor decisions of Elimelech's son, years ahead of time. And again, that's what we see in God's providence. God's guiding years ahead of time. And boy, when it comes to fruition, boy, things happen fast. That's what it says in the hymn by William Cooper. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. But his purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. Yes, that bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. When God's providence starts moving, it starts moving fast, even though it's years in the planning. Years in the planning, but when it happens fast. So Ruth arrives back and she makes the godly decision, right? Now, God's providence is guided by our decisions, okay? And we can put ourselves in good positions or we can put ourselves in bad positions. Now, Ruth made the decision. She could stay in a ungodly land. She made a decision to come back to the land that worships Jehovah God. So, big picture of providence. Yes, this applies in marriage, but big picture of providence, don't expect the Lord to powerfully, dynamically guide in his providence if you're choosing to invest yourself in the world, if you're choosing to invest yourself in the wide gate and the broad way that leads to destruction. If you're choosing to invest yourself in the world, don't expect the Lord to powerfully, providentially move in your life. Right? Now, if you are committed to the kingdom of God and putting the kingdom of God first and foremost, and you are walking in the straight gate and the narrow way, then God will guide you. God will guide you. But listen, you can't just say, she made a commitment to go back to the house of bread to return. She made a commitment to go. To her, she wasn't returning. She made a commitment to go to the house of bread to worship in a place of Jehovah God. And because she made that decision, she put herself in a position for God to providentially bless. We're going to see the same thing with Isaac and Rebekah. The servant was sent back to the homeland and to find a spouse in the right place. So if you are investing yourself in the world and you're just going through dating apps and Tinder and all this app foolishness to try to find one-night stands, if you are going to bars to try to find a spouse, if you're getting drunk and hitting on other people that are also getting drunk, don't expect the Lord to providentially bless your marriage. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, don't expect the Lord to bless you if you're going looking at an atheist convention for a spouse. Listen, we are told in the New Testament to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And the reason why Ruth was blessed to find a godly man like Boaz is because she made a commitment to return to the homeland of God's people. And that's the language that we find with Isaac and Rebekah. I being in the way is what that servant said. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. If you are investing yourself in the world, you know what you're going to get? A whole bunch of the world, right? If you are investing yourself in the broad way, indulging in the lust of the flesh and trying to call it love and acting like you're committing fornication outside of marriage or living with somebody outside of marriage, and you think the Lord is going to bless you to providentially find a good, humble, godly Ruth-type woman when you're choosing to live in Moab, right? Don't expect the Lord to providentially guide you if you're choosing to live in Moab. Don't expect the Lord to providentially guide you if you're going to be like a servant that's going to go find or try to find a spouse among the Canaanites that surrounded Abraham. No, you go back to the people of God. You go back to the house of God and you return to Bethlehem, Judah. Don't expect the Lord to give you an amazing spouse if you're choosing to live in Moab, right? So the reason why Ruth was put in the position she was in is because she made a godly decision to seek the right thing in the right place, right? She made the right decision to seek the right thing in the right place. And look how the Lord blessed. So some people say, oh, well, I just want the Lord's will to be done. Well, get out of the bars. Quit living with people before marriage. Quit making these horrible decisions. Go to church. Go invest yourself around the people of God that are worthy of being a godly spouse and being a helpmate. And then, surprise, surprise, the Lord will bless you in that. So don't expect the Lord to providentially bless you if you're choosing to live in Moab. Ruth made a commitment to return to the people of God with Naomi, and look how the Lord blessed her. Okay, so now in Ruth, she arrives in this language. I love this language of providence. In Ruth chapter 2, this language of providence, she shows up. They don't have anything to eat. She goes out to glean. Her hap was to light. She just happened to her. And what's amazing about the way God guides is that Ruth didn't know what was happening. The way that God guides in his providence, she did not know the way the Lord had been planning for years ahead of time. She did not know what was happening that day. She just showed up and said, okay, I got to go get something to eat. And she just happened. Her hap was to light. That the very first, most likely, you know, I don't think she passed by 20 fields to find the right one. Most likely it was the very first one she showed up at. And lo and behold, that field is owned by the person who's her near kinsman, right? But she doesn't know. Boaz knows who she is. Boaz has heard the story that Naomi has returned and somebody's returned. No, Boaz sees her. Boaz knows who she is. But she doesn't know who Boaz is. She does not know what is happening in the moment. And then Boaz allows her to glean among the sheaves, and he commands his people to drop handfuls of purpose for her. Beautiful lessons that we don't have time to dig into. But then Ruth comes back that night and says, I had a very good day. I've got a lot to return with. And Naomi said, wow, this is awesome. Where'd you go? And she said, I was in the field of a guy named Boaz. Naomi, and this is why it's important that we have godly counselors, Ruth could not see how the Lord was guiding her in the moment because she didn't have as much knowledge and wisdom as Naomi had. But Naomi knew who Boaz was. And Naomi says, boy, the Lord is in this. God is guiding because you just happened to show up. Your hap was to light in the field of a man who's our near kinsman. He has the ability to redeem us. Now, Ruth didn't know that that was happening. And this, again, this is how God's providence works. We can see things in 2020 hindsight, but we just go about our daily life. There's nothing in the book of Ruth that's a miracle. Nothing. There's nothing that's a miracle that's outside of the normal course of life. Ruth goes up and she shows up to work hard in the field. She just happens to show up in the right field. And think about it from Boaz's perspective. It's just a regular day for Boaz. Just a regular day. And he's an older man. He's a mighty man of wealth. If he had a lot of wealth, there was plenty of fathers that would probably trying to get him to marry their daughter. You know, I'm sure he had to turn down a lot of marriages in the past because no doubt people were trying to find security for their daughter. And he probably felt like a lot of us, I know I felt like this at a time in my past, well, there's nobody for me. You know, my time's passed. There's nobody out there for me. Well, I'm sure Boaz got discouraged, just like we all do. He was an older man who hadn't found somebody to be married yet. But from Boaz's perspective, when the Lord was powerfully moving and he just showed up, it was a regular day until the Lord's providence dropped a lightning bolt in his field, right? And then fast forwarding, we're running out of time, just fast forwarding, within 40 days, Boaz was an older man who had to wait many, many years to have a wife and children. Ruth was a widow and she'd been married for years before her husband died. But in about, it says they showed up at the beginning of the barley harvest. By the end of the barley harvest, Boaz has redeemed her and she's Boaz's wife. Within 40 days, his purposes will ripen fast, right? Years in the making. She shows up on the first day of the barley harvest. By the end of the barley harvest, they're married. She's redeemed. So from Boaz's perspective, it was just a regular day. But boy, a lot happened in those 40 days. And by the end of it, he had a wife. And then she ends up being the lineage of King David and obviously of the Messiah. So a few quick points in regards to the story of Boaz and Ruth as we conclude. First of all, the whole reason Ruth is even in the picture is because of the poor decisions of Elimelech's family. And what does God do? He takes those ashes and he makes amazing beauty out of those ashes. They've made a mess of the situation because of poor decisions. And then she makes the right decision to seek God in the right place. Again, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Don't expect the Lord to providentially guide your marriages if you're going to atheist conventions looking for a spouse, right? That's directly contradictory to the Word of God. Don't expect the Lord to bless you to find a good, humble, meek, and quiet spirit if they're closing down the bars drunk like you are at 2 a.m., right? No, you find a meek and a quiet spirit in the house of bread, in the house of my master's brethren, among the people of God that are worshiping Jehovah God. She made the right decision, put herself in the right place for God to bless. And then look what happened. Look what happened. Her hap was to light of all the fields in all of Bethlehem, Judah. She just happens to show up in the field of her kinsman redeemer. Praise God. Praise God for his providence. And we certainly pray the Lord will bless and guide you in your relationships, in your marriage, whatever stage of life that you're in. If you're already married, there's a lot of young people that need counsel about seeking the Lord's will and guidance in marriage. And it's arguably the most important thing in this discussion is, yes, we pray for God's providence, but you got to be seeking the right thing in the right place. And the right place is among the people of God, in the church of God, seeking first the kingdom of God. And if you're doing that and praying and humbly submitting to God's will, we have every confidence that the Lord will bless and guide your marriage in his providence according to his will. May God bless you today.